You know, just about everyone admits that corporate prayer is the part of a vibrant, life-giving church, but actual praying together corporately is not always as easy as it sounds. How can we approach corporate prayer in a way that is energizing to the congregation with powerful, life-changing results? Well, join us as we discuss this and more today on the Five Gifts Podcast. You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host, Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast.
Well, hey, welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. We're glad you're here today. I'm Charles Russell, along with my co-host, Dr. Bruce Ritter. And I didn't say it last week, Bruce, but congratulations, man. It's official.
Thank
you. You're the doctor of all doctors, man. So you're the credibility up behind the Five Gifts Podcast. So congratulations on a great accomplishment.
I don't know if I'm the credibility. I might be the downfall of it if we're not careful.
Well, anyway, congratulations, man. What a great achievement. And we applaud you for that. But welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. Last week, we had a great episode about healing prayer. And our prayer is that you've had an opportunity to practice that in some way this week. Today, we're going to continue talking about prayer, but we just believe on here at the Five Gifts Podcast, you can't get enough prayer. So we're going to emphasize that last week and then today. But it's going to be a great episode. Bruce, anything you want to mention before we get going?
Well, I do want to thank my family who was with me for graduation. It was really great to be in that ceremony. Had Dr. Jonathan Pritchett, Dr. Braxton Hunter, Dr. Leighton Flowers. Got my picture with all three of them, and you may be seeing a few of them as guests in the future on our podcast. But I just consider them not only were they formative in my education, but I think they have a tremendous impact for the gospel. They really use social media well. And so, you know, I think when we started our podcast, Charles, I was thinking, boy, if we could get our podcast to that level or work toward that level, the level that they're using YouTube and and different social media platforms, I think that would be a huge win for us just to work in that direction. So anyway, but today we're back on prayer. And as you rightly said, this is kind of almost a short series on how we approach prayer in the local church. And for me, I would say, you know, one realization for me from my recent conferences in the Dominican Republic was how much we prayed, how much mm-hmm. that we intentionally put prayer as the front and the centerpiece for what we did with those pastors. And I think they came away knowing that really connecting with God in prayer is vital to anything you're leading as a spiritual leader. So I'm excited to talk about that today. So Charles, let's talk to our listeners about an effective prayer strategy for the local church. What exactly is passionate core prayer, or what we might call prompting prayer?
Well, excuse me. Prayers just get me all choked up over here. As we talk about prayer, I mean, this is where church health, church growth, church revitalization, church anything, in our understanding of church and how we lead the church, it all begins in prayer. Acts chapter 2 was a prayer meeting before they ever became a church. Even more recently, as we talk about the Azusa Street revivals, you know, out in California, it was a prayer meeting before it ever became a church, and so we're convinced that that prayer is where it all begins. In our culture today, we tend to lean heavily on programs and programming and production, and those things have their place. But in my mind and in my convictions, if the church is not birthed in prayer, if the leading of the church, if the vision, the direction, the values, if the church as a whole is not birthed and grounded and centered in prayer, then it's for nothing, because I just don't believe it will be sustained, and it will stand. It has to begin in prayer. And so with that understanding, at least, what is prompting prayer? What is passionate prayer? This is the place where the church is formed. As we began to talk about really another kind of praying, we talked about a healing prayer model last week. Today we're going to talk about a couple of different prayer models we could talk about with prompting prayer or passionate prayer. But in either one of those, the way this works is this is where the pastor brings a team and connects the team to him or herself, and begins to pray the will of God, begins to discern God's vision, God's values, God's strategies, God's plans for his church. Listen, I know we may be the pastor or the leader of a local church, but it's still his church. And so before I kind of circumvent the plans and the vision of Christ for his church, I need to put away my agenda or anyone else's agenda, and I need to stop trying to copycat or imitate everybody else around the country, whoever is the latest kind of flavor of the month. And I don't mean to sound bitter or harsh about that. There's some great things great lessons we can learn and glean from people who are being blessed. What I'm trying to say is that it is in the prayer room where God begins to reveal his dream and his vision for his church. Listen, long before we were the pastor there at whatever particular church we're serving, God had a vision for his people in that local context. God has an expression of who he is and what he wants to do in that community, in that city, in that region, through that local church. And what I'm saying, at least as means of introduction, is that it is in this prayer room, it is through this prayer team that God begins to reveal, that we begin, again, here's a word we used a lot last week, that the team, we begin to discern, what is God's vision? What is God's activity? What is God currently blessing? And all these things happen in the prayer room. So Pastor, what you want to do is to begin to bring, and Bruce is going to talk about this more specifically, but you want to begin to invite. This is a prayer team that's pastor invitation only. This isn't, hey, y'all come. This is Pastor, you've gone and you're inviting and you're connecting this prayer team to yourself. And this is in a kind of a semi-private setting. You're not doing this out in front of the church. I've done this in my office. We've done this in a fellowship hall, dining hall, just in a semi-private kind of location. And this pastor invited team comes, and we begin to pray, and we begin to discern the will of God, and we begin to pray the will of God over his church. This is not the prayer meeting where we pray over the needs of the church. Listen, the needs of the church are important, and there are other prayer meetings and times of prayer where we pray over those prayer requests and prayer needs, but in this prayer meeting, in this prayer setting, we are discerning and praying the will of God, the mission of God, in and through his church, in this local church. the expression of Jesus and his spirit in and through this church into the community. We're praying. This is a very focused and a very specific time of prayer. So Pastor, you're going to connect this team to you. You're going to begin to meet and pray on a weekly basis, praying the will of God. And so in what we would call prompting prayer, Pastor, you're going to give the prompts, just as a worship leader does not sing for us, but the worship leader gives us the words to sing, and we join in singing. You're going to give the prompts for the prayer team to pray. You're not going to pray for them, because honestly, that's what prayer looks like around this country, is the pastor praying, or whoever's leading the prayer praying, and those in attendance saying things. The biggest portion of those in attendance praying sounds like this: "Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." And while we appreciate those affirmations and those agreements in prayer, what you're doing in this prayer meeting is you're making prayer disciples. You're teaching the team how to pray. So you're going to gather the team, and you're going to instruct them. This is not just go and pray what you want to pray. This is not a time to find a corner and read your Bible. And this is not a time to have private devotions. This is a team coming together, and we're going to pray focused prayers. We're going to pray specific prayers that is birthed out of the vision and the will and the mission of God for this local church. So gather the team, keep the team tight, keep them formed, and keep them close together so that you can give the prompts. And then you want to instruct the team. We're going to pray out loud. We're going to pray with boldness. We're going to pray with passion. And so we're going to verbalize and vocalize this prayer. And so that would be probably not a very good introduction, but an introduction to prompting prayer, kind of an intro and definition, at least, of how to form up the team. And we're going to talk about principles of prompting prayer, principles of passionate prayer, and how that benefits the church. But Pastor, you want to form the team, and you're going to invite them yourself, connect them to yourself, gather the team, keep them close. And this is a small team. This is not a big team. You're going to gather a small team at first so that you can get this environment passionate and hot. One of the benefits of this is going to be you're going to see the level of spirituality and intensity, spiritual intensity increase in your Sunday morning worship service. Our encouragement would be gather this team to pray and pray as close as you can to that Sunday morning worship service. And you're going to see the temperature rise in that worship service. I liken it to grilling on a big charcoal grill. You know, you can spread the charcoal briquettes in that large grill and light the briquettes, and they'll begin to burn and begin to heat up. But it's just going to take a long time. But if you can take those same briquettes and that same amount of charcoal, put it in a firebox, a chimney, whatever you want to call it, and light it in a small confined space, it gets white hot. And then when it is white hot, you pour those coals into the larger surface, it immediately, the temperature comes up. And so that's one of the benefits of this kind of praying. And we really encourage you, Pastor, church leader, to begin introducing this kind of prayer and making this an integral part of the life of the church you lead. So Bruce, if you can take that scattered and scrambled introduction and definition and make sense out of it, what do you think are some benefits you see of this kind of prompting prayer?
Well, first of all, Charles, I think the important thing that we're saying is we don't dismiss other kinds of praying. Sure. We don't dismiss devotional prayer. We don't dismiss maybe concerts of prayer, people praying in rounds. That's fine. We're not against that. We're just advocating for a way to seize on a kind of praying that invites the activity of Jesus into the local church. And that has to be strategic. And so what we're suggesting is pray in a smaller group around the pastor. Pastor, bring your leaders together. Imagine your leaders. And what we've said, you know, since we began our podcast is, and go for that first 10% of your leaders, the 10% of your congregation that rather is in leadership. Bring them together. And bringing those leaders together, what you're doing is you're setting a tone for your church. Leaders lead, and people need to see the leaders that have a priority of prayer. They don't need to be in the prayer meeting, but they need to see the effect of how praying together, those leaders praying together, what that can accomplish, begin to accomplish in the local church. So imagine your leaders, Pastor, coming together, praying passionately, calling out to God, to not only invite God's work and activity in the local church, but also to discern and to see what God wants to carry out. So prompting prayer starts with leadership, just like Jesus did. You know, he appeared to over 500 people after the resurrection, but he put 120 people in Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost, waiting in that prayer meeting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so I think that's a great pattern for us to remember, that we want to start small. We want to focus our attention on God. We want to call out to him. We want to pray with an active engagement as the pastor may be facilitating that moment. But he's going to be saying, okay, now we're going to pray concerning this. Or we're going to, let's recognize that maybe in the scriptures, this is what we see Jesus doing. Now we're going to ask him for it in our context. So again, that calling leaders to prayer is essential. A second benefit of this kind of praying is it affirms the priesthood of all believers. The scriptures tell us that every believer can sense, they can discern what the Holy Spirit is saying and doing, and we can begin to declare that in the situation. We like to use the phrase revelation and request. And so what we see revealed about God in scripture. And that's why we encourage praying passages of scripture. Not that you're reciting scripture again, but you're looking through scripture to your church, and you're looking at how God reveals himself, and then we're asking him to do what we see him doing in the scriptures. And that aspect of prayer that affirms the priesthood of all believers is vital. Thirdly, it reveals God. Again, we're uncovering those aspects of God's nature that he is presently revealing within our believing community. So, Pastor, think about the sermons that you're preaching. Use those passages of scripture as prayer passages that you can focus in. What are we seeing about who God is? What do we see about who Jesus is in the passage? And then we begin to pray that, because we're seeing his activity in scripture. And what I like to say that kind of prayer does is it prays through the lens of the living and the active Word of God. Passionate prayer seizes on the activity of God. It declares the many perspectives of God's will within the group. Remember, this is how Jesus operated in John chapter 5. Jesus declared to people that were asking, why do you do the things that you do? Why do you say the things that you say? And Jesus says, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but whatever he sees the Father do, that's what he does. So the Son also does those things in like manner. And so passionate prayer is a way for us to look at who the Father is, what he says he cares about, what his priorities are, what his activity, what he's declaring about his activity. And we're praying through that lens over the local church. What we see the Father doing, we're going to pray for him to do. What we hear him saying, we're going to declare that and ask him to begin to do that. And again, that verbalizes the will of God in prayer. You know, Jesus taught us to pray, let your kingdom come, your will be done. and praying together like this, where we're lifting our voices together, we're praying through the lens of the word. It's in this semi-public setting with our team, with our leadership team, where we encourage verbalized prayer, to actually declare out loud, to lift our hands and lift our voices and declare out loud what we see God doing. Again, Charles, you mentioned how so often prayer is one person leading and everyone else just nodding in agreement or yes, amen. We all need to be articulating what the Father's saying, what Jesus is saying. In fact, I like, Charles, how you describe that, because Jesus is interceding over us. When we pray in this fashion, we are praying the prayers of Jesus over our church. And you'll probably talk about that later. But if you remember, that's the pattern of the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, verse 6, when the observers saw what was happening, one of the things that they couldn't, that was common to everyone's experience, was that they heard the believers praying out loud. And so we want to encourage that in passionate core prayer and prompting prayer. We're inviting people to speak out and declare out loud together what we see the Lord doing and what he wants to do. The same thing in Acts chapter 4, verse 24, the believers raise their voices to God in prayer. Now, again, the prayer leader, whether it's the pastor, he directs everyone to pray out loud, just the way, again, the way a worship leader might lead a worship chorus. We're going to sing. They don't worship for us, and so the prayer leader doesn't pray for us, but they prompt us, they guide us, they lead us. And I encourage everybody, I say, if you need to know what to do, just do what I do. When you see me lifting my voice, you don't have to repeat my words, but just put it in your own words, put it in your own language, but pray with the passion that you see me praying with. And I just think that's a fun, it's an interactive, and man, there's something contagious about passion. So pastor, as the leader, we want you to convey passion when you pray. Charles, what would you add?
Well, I want to kind of piggyback on what you're saying. You know, you made the statement that you tell people in your prayer teams, hey, if you're confused or if you don't know what to do what I'm doing. Kind of emulate me in your own words, but emulate me. And I'm just thinking about when I started in this journey of praying in this manner years ago. It was new to me, and you and I share the same mentor who's taught us and trained us in this way of praying. And I can remember those early days of kind of trying to navigate and find my way through this kind of style of praying and really connecting to it and doing what our mentor did, trying to pray the way that he prayed and in my own words, in my own language, but trying to really kind of master this style of praying. And now we fast forward years later, and we were leading this kind of prayer in the Dominican Republic a few weeks ago. And I remember just catching myself, and I do this often, catching myself saying phrases that our mentor would kind of commonly says in passionate or prompting prayer, even gestures as we're praying. And I kind of chuckle about that, but then you and then Dale, our third team member that went with us, making the comments that, wow, that looked like our mentor. You know, you're really doing the things that he does and the way you're expressing yourself. And I just think that's funny, but we do this. This is kind of, I mean, it's taught, but it's caught, much like vision. It's
good.
Caught.
That's good.
More than it's taught. And but I'm telling you, there's been just such a great increase and intensifying of power and anointing and authority in prayer as I've learned and I'm still learning to pray in this manner. So I just wanted to touch on that. I wanted to go down memory lane a little bit. Some things I would add to this as far as benefits and how this acts and works in the local church. Prompting prayer and even passionate prayer releases God's agenda for the congregation. So what we discover is that this kind of prayer focuses, it focuses upon what God desires for the church. In other words, what is Jesus praying for the church? If it's true, and I believe it is, that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, he makes intercession over us. What is he praying? What are the prayers that he's praying? Because those are the prayers I want to be praying over the church. Those are the prayers this team needs to be praying over his church. Jesus has an agenda. Jesus is praying over the church. He has an agenda. And in this type of prayer, God's agenda is released for the congregation. Even in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, we read that Jesus lives to make intercession for us. So I want to get on his prayer agenda. I've said this all the years I've pastored and continue to say it, that if we say what Jesus is saying, if we go where he's going, if we do what he's doing, if we pray what he's praying, then we get to participate in what he is blessing. And it's a pattern that Jesus establishes for us in the New Testament. John chapter 5, I think it's verse 19. Jesus has just blistered the Pharisees, but he makes this incredible statement that has really come to life for me over the years and serves as kind of a life verse, I guess, that Jesus says, look, I'm only going to do what I see my Father doing. And it's this idea of aligning with the divine agenda. So that's a benefit here. Number seven or another principle would be this kind of praying becomes powerful and effective. James 5:16 declares that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. I can tell you, thinking about a church that I pastored where that God, it just seemed like God breathed on that church and his blessings were just released. And it certainly wasn't anything that I did or accomplished, but I'm just thinking about all the growth that came to this particular church, and it came quick and it came immediately. We weren't at the church very long until growth and salvations and healings, all these wonderful things began to take place. And the only thing I can attribute it to is we began to build this prayer team to pray in this manner. And God honored that. And it was through the prayers of this team that this kind of praying became powerful and effective in the church and also in the community. Next would be that, you know, this kind of prayer addresses the unseen realm. And so passionate warfare prayer addresses and defeats principalities and powers in the spirit world. And so that's part of why you want this team praying in this way, because there are unseen forces and powers at war with us. And we're going to pull those strongholds down. We're not going to allow them to remain. And so this kind of prayer accomplishes that. And then this kind of praying concentrates spiritual passion. Jesus used this principle in prayer and discipleship. He would concentrate intensely upon a few, and they would impact many. And again, I kind of go back to my illustration of the charcoal grill. If you can pull a small team together and get this team praying passionately and praying hot, and then release them into the church, it will significantly increase the spiritual temperature of the entire church. And so this kind of praying will concentrate spiritual passion. Well, Bruce, any other principles you can think of that would help us in the local church?
Well, I think just building on what you said about it, concentrating spiritual passion, that really is the purpose of bringing people together and leading him in prayer this way. And I would say that spiritual passion has to begin with someone. And, in our experience, Charles, with leading passionate core prayer, prompting prayer, is the challenge of keeping everyone praying passionately.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be a frustrating experience. We're all, all disclaimers out there. And so I think one of the challenges for me is keeping my passion level up.
Mm-hmm.
I can't come in passive. I have to come into those moments actively engaged. I have to focus my attention on the Lord and really begin to demonstrate and let people see my passion.
Yeah.
And so that concentration of spiritual passion, what it begins to do is people begin to see you and you encourage that in other people, it begins to raise a spiritual tide. The spiritual tide of those who are praying together, well, everybody begins to experience that. The lift that you're bringing into the room, it is contagious. Passionate core prayer is something that is more caught than taught. People have to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And, what I'm reminded of is, people have tendencies to revert back to more comfortable pathways. And so, I would say this kind of leadership is provoking. We're not asking for anything to be fake. We're asking people to just begin to stir and release passion as they pray. I remember last week when we were in the Dominican Republic and leading one of our pastors' conferences, there was a moment where the prayer meeting was kind of fading. Mm-hmm. And I realized I was up next and I thought, gosh, Lord, help me. We need to push this through. We need to see people's passion stirred. And I remember thinking, we started with this idea that transformation in the local church is like a bridge you're building to your future.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, well, bridges take work. I need to remind people this is work.
Yeah.
And so some people began to sit down and I said, I got the microphone. I said, let's stand up. We got work to do. We're working here for the kingdom. And I just began to demonstrate that, well, God was good. Grace was poured out and people began to go with me. And, yeah. What happened? I mean, there was a tremendous surge.
Mm-hmm.
In that room. So be faithful to be faithful in that role of setting the tone and believing for that to be caught in your people. It'll be hard. Sometimes, Pastor, you're going to feel like you're the only one in the room that's praying.
Yeah.
But don't let them revert back to what's comfortable. Keep concentrating and building spiritual passion. Raise that spiritual tide. Charles, mm-hmm. Am I saying too much there? I mean, I feel like that's a very feels oriented, approach to leadership, but it's vital. I think it's vital.
It's critical. Absolutely.
Yeah. A couple other additional things that are important to remember, this kind of prayer, it increases spiritual power. Not only does it stir passion, but I think it brings people into a mode of faith that really begins to ask God with boldness. You and I both know what it's like to see people really stirred to ask God, and you see faith working in them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to pray in a way that stirs faith and increases spiritual power and intensity. I think about that early church in Acts chapter 4. Again, it went from 120 to thousands, and all of a sudden they've triggered the religious leaders that are telling them not to preach in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. And they've warned them, they've threatened them. And they could have wilted under that pressure. I mean, they were in the thousands, but they were still a small minority in Jerusalem. But in Acts chapter 4, they lifted their voices together, they reclaimed their passion, and God met them in a powerful way. And it says that out of that signs and wonders were continued and the preaching of the gospel prevailed because of, I think, of that prayer meeting. So bringing people together, there's a dynamic that that begins to increase their spiritual passion, and the result is increased spiritual power. Again, with that, the release of faith and boldness mm-hmm. happens. As leaders pray, the Holy Spirit begins to stir people to not only believe God's word, but begin to boldly declare it and to speak it and to believe for God to fulfill it. And then one of the things I think is important to remember, this kind of prayer facilitates prophetic praying. You know, to say, okay, we're going to look into the scriptures. We're going to look at what Jesus declares, what the scripture mm-hmm. reveals about God. Many people think of prophetic things happening somehow. You don't need. It seems like it's ancillary to the scriptures. Man, the scriptures, getting into the scriptures, getting your mind and your heart and your soul into the scriptures, it actually activates the prophetic. The word of God is prophetic.
Yeah.
And so when you begin to hear and see and declare what God wants in the scriptures, I think the Holy Spirit activates those prophetic gifts when we pray. And we begin to declare, we begin to discern, we begin to hear what God is doing. We begin to give voice to it and declare it. And it's incredible what happens in those moments where you set the atmosphere for that activity when we pray. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, I think of how, you know, Moses said in the Old Testament, Paul says it to the Corinthians, you know, Moses said, listen, I wish the whole house of Israel would prophesy. I wish they all had that passion in hearing from God and declaring what the way of the Lord is. And Paul says that. He says, you can all prophesy. Mm-hmm. You can all speak in tongues. You can all be active in the gifts of the Spirit. And so this kind of prayer invites that. This kind of prayer brings people into that arena and encourages them to experience those gifts in prayer. So we really encourage this form of prayer. We've given you a nutshell view of it. Charles, what would you add?
Well, I was just thinking, pastor, leader, as you build your team, let's say you have 10 people that's on your team. I just want to give you a number. So as you're thinking about the church as it's growing to the next level, you want about 10 hours of this kind of prayer for every 100 people in the church. And so if you're a church of, let's say you're wanting to grow to a church of 100, so you want to build a team of 10. Now, you may not have a team of 10 to start with, but to sustain a church of 100, you're going to want a team of 10 people that are weekly praying this way.
Charles, I think you nailed a valid point there, something really important, and also a workable goal that pastoral leaders can begin to assert and build toward in the local church. Getting that hour prayer per 10 people, again, it's really easy math. If you're looking at your church at the next level being 100 people, then work toward 10 hours of prayer. That's 10 people praying with you an hour a week. And you can scale that. That's the beauty of this prayer model. It's absolutely scalable. Mm-hmm. But Charles, before we go today, you think it would be good for us to give our listeners maybe a simple prayer model that maybe we could build that off the five gifts?
Sure. Yeah. Let's think about that. And that way you can begin to take this and think through it and adapt it to your local context. So, you know, the five gifts, what we're going to pray through these five gifts. And so what are we going to pray? We're going to do prompting prayer. So a prompt in the gift of the apostle, could be, give us more leaders. Lord, we're growing. We're wanting to grow to a church of 100. We feel like that's where you're wanting to lead us. And so God, give us 10% leaders. Give us 10 leaders. Help us to identify, recruit and train and release 10 leaders in this church. That's a great apostolic prayer point that the team can begin to pray in. What about prophetic, Bruce?
Or, yeah, I would say in the prophetic, the prophetic gift, you know, you could begin to thank God that he gives the gifts of the Spirit to the church, that he gives those revelatory gifts. He gives those knowledge gifts. He gives those prophetic gifts. And it's the promise of the word. That's what he desires to do. And Jesus is pouring those out. So thank him for that. And then begin to ask him for that. Ask God for a prophetic anointing in your church. Ask God to begin to breathe life into your worship services and ask for those gifts to be stirred. Ask for God to give you those prayer hours that you need from people in your church and invite the activation of those gifts in the prophetic part of your worship team, or not just your worship team, but your congregation.
Mm-hmm.
Charles, what about the pastoral?
Yeah. And the pastoral, just begin to thank God. He's the good shepherd. Thank him that he is our pastor. You know, he's identified as pastor, as the good shepherd. And so thank Jesus that he is present, caring for the body, caring for the church that you're serving. Thank him. He's the good shepherd. He is the pastor. And then begin to ask, since he is the good shepherd, since he is the pastor, ask the Lord to raise up pastors in the church, to raise up people who function in those pastoral gifts. It could be that you begin to ask, you begin to ask the Lord to raise up people who are greeters, who are connectors, who connect people into the life of the church, that those relational, those pastoral gifts begin to come alive. So thank him. On one hand, he is our good shepherd. He's our pastor. And then begin to ask him. Begin to ask. Again, in this speaking prophetically, hearing, seeing, and declaring what God wants before it happens, begin to ask him that the pastoral gifts begin to surface in the local church, and that people are cared for, people are healed and they're served through pastoral gifts. Bruce, what about the teacher?
Yeah, you know, the teaching gift is about reproducing the life of Jesus through discipleship and ministry, bringing people into a way of serving in the ministries of your church. So begin to thank God for the life of Jesus forming in the people, that the Holy Spirit has come to help us not only do the works of Jesus, but to build the character of Jesus in us. And thank him for the gift of the teacher. Ask God for teachers to be empowered for transformation. Begin to ask him to help you form strategies around smaller groups and building people into teams where not only they can grow and learn together, but they can begin to see the life of Jesus formed in them, shaped in them, and also the ministries of Jesus released in them through team-oriented ministry. And I think you can address that first in prayer. Again, that's the activity of God. Begin to embrace that, seize upon that, declare that in the prayer meeting.
Absolutely. You know, all these gifts, they initiate in prayer. They begin in prayer. And so this prompting prayer through the gifts is a great way to align ourselves with the activity of Christ in the church. And so the gift of the evangelist, praise Jesus that he is the Lord of the harvest. Thank him that he is the evangelist, that he is the Lord of the harvest, who's raising up evangelists to send into the harvest. Thank him for that. And then you begin to ask him, God, raise up evangelists in this church. Jesus, raise them up in this church, and people that have a heart for the lost sons and daughters of God, people that want to see their friends and family come to faith in Jesus. Activate those gifts of evangelism in this body. Bring them to the forefront. Cause this church to be a church of the harvest, a church that brings in the harvest. And so again, we're hearing, we're seeing, we're declaring what God wants before it happens. And so so that would be the evangelist. And so that's a simple prompting prayer model that you can begin to use as a template to identify the activity of Christ in your church, and then this team that you form together began to pray through a prompting prayer model like that, that you're praying these specific and focused prayers. You're praying the will of God over his church and over the communities that God has established his church to serve and to reach. And man, I'm telling you, there's great power that comes. It's just unbelievable. It opens up pathways. It opens up the floodgates of what God wants to see and do and happen in his local church and in his creation. So we would encourage you to take what we've given and use that or use that as an inspiration to begin to develop your own prompting prayer models. And so then the last thing is, if you have a team of 10 that's praying an hour, listen, you're getting 10 focused hours praying the will of God over that local church. And that is powerful. That is priceless. And so, Pastor, we really encourage you to begin to develop and implement this style, this type of praying in the local church.
Charles, you know, I don't think I can let this moment go without saying that some things that we've talked about today, you may need a little more context for it. And
sure.
We're available. We've done this with local churches before where we can come in perhaps on a Friday night or a Saturday morning with key leaders. We want you to be selective about who those leaders need to be. And we can demonstrate this for you. We can help you build prayer models that will take you through the next 6 to 12 months of your ministry and help you not only pray the way we've talked about, but to pray strategically. We can help you not only build prayer models, but we can give you some context for how to lead your team in praying in this fashion. And one of the best ways to do that is just to get together and start praying. And we're available to do that. We can come to your church and help you begin building this kind of prayer ministry in the local church.
Absolutely. Yeah, we would love to help you if that's what you desire. We're available to come. Well, listen, we want to thank you all for joining us today on the Five Gifts podcast. Thank you for being here with us today. Please remember to like, follow, subscribe, share, do everything you can. Help us to get the word out. And we just want to continue to grow our network and continue to get this message out about the critical importance of five gifts. So you can reach Bruce at coachingcardia.com. He's a great resource. He can be a great help to you individually, to your church. Reach him there again, coachingcardia.com. You can find me at charlesrussellministries.com for church resources. And if you have leadership needs outside of the church, you can find me at charlesrusselltraining.com. So it's been a great day, great episode. We'll see you here next week on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You've been listening to the Five Gifts Podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments to give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.